like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy, getting cards and letters from people I don't even know.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with me, your show host, 251-343-0106. We can talk more about what's going on around Alabama. We're talking confirmation hearings about to be underway this week for Trump cabinet picks, as inauguration is 1 week away. So, as always, please stay tuned. Joining us now on the line, we haven't had him on in a while, but I'm always appreciative of his time. And I know he's a very busy man these days. We're just talking about that offline. But I got to know him a little bit when I was up in the Huntsville market on the radio there on WVEN. But State Representative Rex Reynolds joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How you been?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Doing good. How about you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for taking time. We're just kind of talking during the break there. Now, you have a kind of a leadership role in the Alabama State House of Representatives, but you know, it's a lot different than just kind of being just a rank and file member. You are now in charge, I guess, of sort of orchestrating how the legislature, you know, the budgets, everything that's not education, which there's a lot of state agencies and the state does a lot of business. So, you know, walk us through some of that real quick.
Well, that's right. You know, the general fund, you know, supports all the services side of it. As I say many times at the microphone, you know, our most critical services to all of Alabamians. I do chair the Ways and Means General Fund. Got a good co-chair there, Chairman Blackshear, and got a good General Fund Committee, and they stay involved throughout the year as well. So I'm very, very fortunate. Got some hardworking, good, great service members on my committee. But sure, it's January. It's budget time. We've had multiple meetings with our agencies, with our organizations and mental health services throughout Alabama. So it's go time. I'll be back down to Montgomery this week and spend a couple of days and have a little leadership meeting this week and make sure that we've got our steps moving into February the 4th.
Well, let's talk here. I guess our first question, I wanted to get to this. We're kind of certainly on the backside of all the COVID money that came into the state. And, you know, I understand you guys are very careful not to intermingle the monies and make sure that there are like a lot of one-time expenditures. But the talk is still out there that now the federal money has sort of been spent or dried up or however you want to put it, that, you know, we got to look at the budgets a little bit differently. What does that look like from your point of view? I mean, do you sense that there's going to be a tangible impact here?
Well, there will be an impact. You know, all ARPA funds have already been committed. They've got to be spent by December of 2026. Certainly, as you know, coming out of that 23 budget cycle, we saw a 16% growth, and we knew that wasn't sustainable. And so coming out of this 24 budget into the 25 cycle, we only saw 7% growth. But I hate to even phrase it like that because you're talking about 7% of one of the largest general fund budgets that Alabama's ever seen. So we continue to be strong. Here's the key part. $152 million of that 7% came from interest on state accounts. So last year, where we were able to recognize some additional revenue to replace a lot of the critical services in the budget, this year's just opposite. We know the interest rates will be going down, and we've certainly got to be cautious. But hey, the governor's budget last year and then in the work of the House and the Senate, we were able to do a lot of one-time expenditures and help those agencies out. But those will be restricted in the 26th cycle.
I mean, is it kind of – you want these one-time expenditures, it wasn't like the money's fungible that's moving around. But, you know, the economy seems to be doing okay. You know, are you looking at budget growth? Do you anticipate that being a part of the equation? Just the overall health of the economy, I guess, has a lot to do with which direction you're going to head in this year.
Well, that's right. I know tomorrow we'll meet with the chamber at lunch for an update, and just looking back on some of the presentations before, and this year will be no different. So we still got a conference in Alabama. I was able to go on a few economic development trips this summer. And just in the last few months, I've met with some corporations that are interested in investing in Alabama, and that's a thing you hear all the time. We met with Mayor Battle this last week before the public hearing, and you hear that tone there. So I'm kind of excited about where Alabama's heading, and I think we'll stay strong. And again, you know, we may not see these $200 and $300 million supplemental appropriations, but if we just get back to some of our largest budgets ever, that's a good signal for Alabama.
What does the now? There's a lot of talk, I guess, about the SSUT right now and making changes to that. I would assume your committee would have some kind of say in that, and you know the financial health there of the state depending on, you know, because more and more people are making online purchases versus the brick and mortar retailer, but. You know, the difference here that it's not just an ETF question anymore because that growth tax, that's one of the few growth taxes for the general fund. what do you foresee there?
Well, that's exactly right. We, you know, SSUT continues to be in the top three contributors to the general fund. We've seen growth year over year. We had over 2 million committed to the general fund just on the state side. And certainly you've heard the Big Ten mayors publicly concerned about particularly what I'll say is the end zip code, SSUT, where, you know, somebody picks up the phone, calls their local restaurant, orders a meal, comes in, picks it up. That may be an area that we can address this session. But some of these, I've seen a couple of bills dropped already and have talked to some members about some other bills. And I've encouraged my colleagues to just kind of work with the education side of it, and with our mayors and with our counties, and then we'll make the right decision in our committees to whether to move those bills forward or not.
Now the perpetual question, probably anticipated something along these lines, but so much of the House time last year was dedicated or allotted toward, you know, the gambling discussion. And for whatever reason, it doesn't ever go away. But this year, it feels like that maybe it could get another look, at least upstairs in the Senate. What's the mood, do you think, on gambling? And you know, talk about it do you look at it when you hear about it and knowing where you are on the general fund, do you look at that as something as a, I don't know, reliable or a revenue source that would shore up the overall health of the general fund?
Well, it would, Jeff. I was very clear last year to the sponsor and co-sponsor of the legislation that I was a yes. I was a yes vote to allow Alabamians to vote, because I hear that everywhere I go, and I continue to hear that. I think not passing a lottery vote could be an issue in the 26th election, but certainly we were at the table and had some mental health language in there. We had some language in there related to our retirees, and certainly would make a huge impact. I was just looking at Virginia's numbers the other day, and you know they were pressing almost $900 million, and it's you know, you're talking about doing some extra stuff for your roads and your law enforcement and a lot of your critical services. That would be huge.
Well, let's talk some specifics here. The prisons, and now you're on that prison finance committee, and you know the scandal there, I guess, or mild scandal, whatever you want to call it, with the going from $630 million to in excess of $1 billion. Are you watching that? I mean, do you think that's kind of a one-off thing within state government, or is there a lot of that going on with some of these projects and the price tags they come to you with, and then on the back end, it's significantly more to complete the project?
Yeah, certainly we've had a change in leadership, you know, since that early number was given. And certainly we've had a change in our economy. And we really dove into that, Jeff. I mean, it was amazing to see where, let's say concrete alone, our concrete, bricks and mortar, and our labor tripled in price during this time of inflation. So that really impacted us on our first prison. That is project is moving along very, very well. And I think the completion date is still in the May timeframe of 2026. And it's going to be a huge cost in transitioning those prisoners over there. So we may not be through committing money to that project as well. I feel good where we're standing going into the construction of the Escambia prison. We're working with Chairman Albritton down there and trying to kind of see what that looks like. We'll wait and see when we get the architectural plans. Probably will not be done until maybe late spring. We've got some cash on hand, about $600 million to go toward that project. Certainly we'll need additional dollars. We'll watch the bond market, and you know, we think that environment will get better, and we'll look at this going forward. Probably be a 3-year cycle on funding that on that prison down there in Escambia.
Do you foresee it costing as much as the Elmore County? I mean, do you see it going in the excess of $1 billion?
Jeff, I have not. Yes, I do. I have not seen any decline in some of the pricing of these large construction projects. I've just been trying to monitor some, and I do think during this Trump administration, I think that's going to relieve some pressure off this inflation. And you know, it's somebody was talking about the other day about lumber coming down. I said, well, that doesn't help me with a prison. That's steel and concrete. So and a lot of technology. So we'll just have to continue doing the best way we can. I think we've got a commitment there. We've got to move forward on doing that, relieve some pressure off these other aging prisons. And I think Commissioner Ham's doing an awesome job. We just got to continue to focus on supporting him. And I'll tell you, you know, between Medicaid, prisons, mental health, and DHR, they just about are going to eat the general fund revenues up this 2026 cycle.
Well, I'm not trying to belabor this, but do you think you're getting honest projections here when they come in? And because, you know, I know this is an ETF project, but that school of Demopolis looks like it's going to be a lot more. There's our road project, the West Alabama Corridor, not really meeting initial estimates. And like you said, the cost of goods and services has increased with inflation. But, you know, some of these early projections, do you look at them and think, well, maybe I need to add 20-30% because they haven't exactly been on the money lately?
Well, that's a good point, and sometimes we do that. We're doing it right now with some of our ATRIP 2 projects that we'll vote on this month. We know when those a lot of those projects can lay over from year to year, and Albot does a good job of going in there projecting some percentage growth and just for inflation. So no different from that than we do see some of our construction projects.
Yeah. And you know, the other part is you look at how do you keep, is there a way to keep just in general the cost of government down versus like what we're going through right now? Because you mentioned all of these burdens on the general fund and, you know, everybody's got their hand out, but I mean, I got to think, Chairman, going looking across state agencies, this isn't just going to be just construction projects or whatever, that all of these agencies are going to see their costs go up and therefore need more revenue or need more funding.
Well, that's right. But that control measure has already begun last year. This year, I've already briefed my colleagues kind of about the condition of it. You know, we're very proud to do one-time projects in a lot of districts in Alabama. And those are, you know, projects that those communities could have otherwise maybe never achieved. But certainly conversations going down. I will tell you that even in the last two budget cycles, even from the governor's budget, no agency was funded at 100%. All of them received less funding than what they requested to do. So, yes, we're beginning to control that conversation. And you'll see even more control going into the 26th budget.
And talk about the other one, we're going to hear it, I guess, until we're, if it ever does happen. But you got the Medicaid expanders kind of knocking on the door. And I know there's some ideas, Medicaid expansion light or something like that. Blue Cross and Blue Shield proposed, I guess it was to the county commissioners, a few weeks ago. What are you listening to that talk? Does that talk raise your eyebrows at all?
Well, it does. Now, you know, we continue to be concerned about the escalating cost of Medicaid. I think we increased the Medicaid budget almost $300 million last year. We're seeing another request this year larger than that. So that our Medicaid budget looks like it's pushing over $1 billion for the first time. So we've got to do something to manage that. I have seen the All Care. I think there's value in a project like that. And it, you know, people say, does that not worry you as the general fund chair? It really does not. I mean, you know, you go back and reassess those every 5 years. So I think we just need to dive into it. We need to look at it. I know leadership's look at it. And I think the governor's office and we just have to make a sound decision going forward. But we're also at the same time on the legislative side looking at some of these other states and kind of comparing how they manage their Medicaid programs.
It's just a matter of finding the right mix to keep the cost from escalating maybe as much on the Medicaid side.
It really is. And I think with some of this, you know, we're pushing a federal deadline there on availability of 100% dollars. So I think there's some really smart people out there that's working on this, and they'll come back. And I think you'll see a lot of conversation this session about the All Care.
Representative, we're out of time. You always are generous with yours, and I always appreciate you making time for this program. So, but stay safe up there, and hopefully can catch up during the session.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. That's State Representative Rex Reynolds there. Got a lot into that segment there, but take a look at it later on and talk about it some more throughout the program. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Have a good time. In one day, a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid. He took her oh so